It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, January 29th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today marks the beginning of a big land rush on the internet. Companies that manage and sell web addresses are set to release a bunch of new ones into the world. These new addresses will be top-level domains, or TLDs. They deal with the letters to the right of the dot. For instance, .guru, .bike, and .singles. Mitchell Hartman isn't on the list, but he's the marketplace guy who brings us this story.
Starting today, a regular Joe small bike shop owner will be able to buy a web address that's really specific to his business.
Oh, are you Joe?
Yeah.
So this is Joe Dobley, and we're here at Joe Bike, his high-end cycling store in Portland, Oregon. His website's joe-bike.com, pretty good. So does he need joebike.bike? Isn't that kind of overkill?
I mean, immediately, who would be looking at .bike? I mean, I'm not going to invest in a destination that people don't even know exists.
But then I tell him it'll probably cost less than $50 a year, and Joe says it probably is worth getting to stake out his brand in case .bike does take off. Other new top-level domains go on sale this week, including .clothing and .photography. By next year, there'll be well over 1,000 more in foreign scripts and for major brands like .apple. Most new domain names will cost $10 to $40 a year, but some hot ones will push into the tens of thousands to buy, like .buzz.
I don't think there's a strong need for the additional extensions. I just think it's a easy way to build a high-margin business if you're the person that's selling them.
Aaron Wall is an expert in search engine optimization, and he thinks consumers will be confused, so they'll keep clicking to the standard .coms and .orgs that they know and trust. Kieran McCarthy worked at the international nonprofit that's in charge of this massive internet expansion. He's certain the new domains will catch on and make it easier for people to connect to their communities and interests online.
And so if you run a bike shop or if you're just a bike fanatic, you'll say, well, I'll get .bike. With all of these extensions, I think the internet will start reflecting our lives, what goes on in life, more closely.
McCarthy says new top-level domains in foreign scripts, like Cyrillic and Arabic, will expand global use and ownership of the internet as well. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This month, a neuroscientist and his team announced that the ceremonial first kick at this year's World Cup opening in Brazil would be completed by a paralyzed teenager using an exoskeleton attached to their brain. Prosthetic robotic devices connected to the human brain are becoming more common. You may remember a video a few years ago of a woman at the University of Pittsburgh feeding herself chocolate with a robot arm. Well, for today's installment of our sports and tech series, Gaming the System, we'll hear from a guy who works in this field. Dr. Michael Bollinger is chair of the Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation Department at the University of Pittsburgh. Doctor, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I understand there's a number scale as you judge how a human might interact with a prosthetic that's being controlled by their brain.
So a simple way of thinking about this is one degree of freedom of control means that you can actually control the movement of an object along a line, kind of similar to the game of Space Invaders, where the little alien that shot things just moves back and forth along the bottom of a screen.
What's the next level up?
2 degrees of freedom would be controlling a mouse, really along two lines now, up and down and side to side. And then it gets even more complicated and more degrees of freedom if you want to control a hand.
I get the impression that you're a little bit skeptical about the possibility of someone who is paralyzed being able to actually stand up and kick the first ball in the World Cup.
I think it's an achievable task. There are several of those exoskeletons in existence, and they have a computer chip on board that actually does a lot of the control work for them. Where it becomes much more difficult would be if the brain was responsible for controlling the motion of the legs itself.
And this is a very, I would imagine, slow process of having total control and being able to do it in a live sports situation.
Well, sure. If you could give someone an exoskeleton that made them stronger, then you'd have this super athlete because they'd think, and instead of it having to travel down the nerves in our body, which are relatively slow compared to electrical wires.
So wait. Hold on. You're telling me that our neural network is not as fast as electronic wires?
Yes. We don't have it figured out to the degree where we can do that, but all of that could happen more quickly with electronics.
So what are the barriers that remain then?
You know, one barrier that remains is that in the absence of sensation, it's hard to get really robust and good control.
That, I imagine, is a very complicated technological hurdle. Part of my interaction as someone who's playing with a basketball or playing with a soccer ball is how the ball feels.
Especially in sport, where the high-level athletes do everything unbelievably well. It's not just their ability to react, it's their ability to sense. It's, you know, if the basketball is rotating, you can tell that by when you're dribbling the basketball.
Dr. Michael Boninger is the chair of the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at the University of Pittsburgh's School of Medicine. Dr. Boninger, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You can find more of our Gaming the System series on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.